I think the July in Calgary has a very different kind of energy from the rest of the year, right? The weather gets warmer, actually, we can say much hotter. And then the days become much longer as a result. The whole city comes alive, I think. Right now, we are in the middle of summer. We can say that from this week. So we're going to upper like a 27, 6, 8 degrees this weekend, this week. According to the statistics, more than 1 million people visit the Calgary Stampede. Now, you didn't even surprise. It's 1 million people. Thank you. Each year to enjoy the ride, fireworks, and countless pancake breakfast. Even if people don't go to Stampede itself, many are driving to Banff or a nearby campground. Others are enjoying backyard parties or community events all over the city, right? Everyone wants to enjoy every possible moment of summer before the snow returns. Sorry about that. After our long winters, this is a truly a wonderful season that we all look forward to. So, what are your plans for this summer? But although July in Calgary is so beautiful, if we're honest, it can also be incredibly noisy. This year feels even louder because of the World Cup. Although Team Canada unfortunately failed to advance to the next round yesterday, I believe they deserve great applause and encouragement for their achievement and their passion. Anyway, July is when the noise level of our lives reaches its peak. It is not just the noise of festivals and culture. There are also financial worries, busy family schedules, and countless other concerns. Our hearts are surrounded by voices and signals that are constantly competing for our attention. When Pastor Scott asked me to preach this three-week sermon series, many thoughts came to my mind. Last year, I preached a three-week sermon series called Comfort in Discomfort. I'm sure you remember. In this series, we thought about the truth like this. Following Jesus isn't always safe in this culture, but it is the best way for our lives. His call is not easy, but it is life-giving. And his way will make us uncomfortable, but it will lead to true comfort in him. That's what we learned last year. As I prayed and asked God what he wanted me to share this summer, one word certainly came to my mind. That was Christmas. Yeah, our staffs know because I already start to prepare. Christmas already is coming. But not that reason, just certainly the word Christmas came to my mind. Then I began to think about Bethlehem about 2,000 years ago, the busiest and noisiest moment in its history. In the middle of all that noise, ignored by almost everyone, Jesus quietly entered this world. This led me to think of July in Calgary and Christmas at the same time. And then I came to plan a new sermon series that I would like to share with you starting today. Christmas in July. Normally we remember the coming of Jesus in December, right? But December, just like July in Calgary, is filled with shopping, celebrations, traditions, and endless distractions. Sometimes the deep world-changing truths of the incarnation is drawn out by the sound of Christmas carols. As people living in Calgary, we certainly enjoy the excitement and energy of Stampede. Like me, I'm wearing like Stampede person, am I? That was my best, so don't blame me. However, I would like us to take a moment this morning to calm that excitement and reflect together on a Christmas in July, which might seem a little strange. When I think about it, perhaps what we need most during this noise month of July is not another loud excitement that captures our attention for a moment. I believe what we truly need is the quiet but powerful truth of Christmas, a truth that reaches deep into our lives and changes us from the inside out. Today, for the first session, I would like to share a message with you under the title, Tuning In. However, this is probably not the Christmas story you usually hear in December. Instead of turning to Matthew or Luke, which we normally read at Christmas time, we are going to the book of Hebrews. This is because Hebrews reveals the theology behind the manger. It pulls back the curtain and shows us what the baby really was. More importantly, it tells us what God was saying through him. So throughout this series, I hope we will not stop at the baby lying in the manger. Instead, we will come to know Jesus as God himself who came to us. So let's read today's scripture together, which is Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 to 4. It is very short, so I think you're already bored, so why don't we read together? One voice. Can we do that? Okay, let's do that. Okay, let's read this passage. Okay. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets and many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. Amen. Please notice how the author begins the book of Hebrews. He does not begin with a philosophical argument about whether God exists. Instead, he begins with this foundational truth. He said, we worship God who speaks. We worship God who speaks. Verse 1 says, in the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets, and many times and in various ways. I once heard someone said, God is not a distant clock maker who wind up the universe and then walked away. Our God is a God who communicates. He wants to be known. But notice how he spoke during the Old Testament. Hebrews says, at many times and in various ways. Do you remember pagers? Beepers, we call beepers or pagers. We put in here, our belt in here. I think I first saw one around 1992 when I was serving in the military in Korea. Even after I was discharged and I started dating my wife, we still use the pagers. Whenever she came to visit me at the university, she would send me a special pager message that only two of us understood. Oh, what a romantic. As soon as I saw those short numbers on the screen, I knew she had arrived. And I'd come down from the library to meet her. Sometimes she left a voice message instead of a number. Then I would quickly run to the nearest payphone so I could listen to her message. A pager could only send a very limited, one-way, fragmented messages. It was a very incomplete way to communicate. But even so, it was a very important tool that connected my wife and me. Those were the days. I don't know how many people remember that, but in the Old Testament, God's voice came through many different channels, almost like different kinds of analog signals. As we know, he spoke to Moses through a burning bushes. He spoke to Elijah in a gentle whisper. He spoke to Daniel through visions. He spoke to Isaiah through majestic poetry. All of these were true, beautiful, and holy messages from God. And through those messages, people could confirm the fact that God speaks. But they were only partial. Each one was only one part of the much bigger story. No prophet ever saw the complete picture of God's revelation. Moses understood God's law and justice. David understood God's heart and kingship. Isaiah understood God's holiness and the coming suffering servant. The Apostle Peter confirms this in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10 to 11, where he notes that the prophets who prophesied about this grace, Peter says, searched and inquired carefully, seeking to know what person or time the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating. Even the prophets knew they were each playing only one instrument in a great symphony. They had not yet heard the complete masterpiece. The Old Testament is God's profound revelation, but it was still a shadow. It was the overture. It was the stage being prepared for God's final and complete revelation. Then we come to verse 2, and certainly the entire course of human history changed. And verse 2 says, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. God's final and decisive word to humanity is not a new set of rules or a new philosophy. God's final word is a person. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem, while we celebrated Christmas, God did not simply send another messenger. He sent himself. If I may use an illustration from the world of audio, Jesus is like the original, uncompressed, lossless, high-definition master track of God's very nature. There's no distortion. There's no noise. Everything we need to know about God is perfectly revealed in him. Amen? Now look at the amazing description in verse 3. It says, the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. The author uses two remarkable Greek words here. The first one is apalgasma. It means radiance. The sun and its rays cannot be separated. They share the same nature. Wherever the ray shines, the presence of sun is there. In the same way, Jesus is the shining radiance of God's glory. The second word is character. The exact representation. Originally, this word referred to the stamp used to imprint an image onto a coin. The coin carried the exact and unchangeable image of the emperor. Likewise, Jesus perfectly and completely reveals the very nature of God. The first readers of Hebrews were almost certainly Jewish Christians living under great pressure and persecution, probably in Rome or Jerusalem. They were being tempted to return to the old system of sacrifices under Judaism. The Hebrew writer's message to these struggling believers was very simple. He wanted to say, if you want to know what God's voice sounds like, listen to Jesus. If you want to know what God's mercy looks like, watch Jesus touch the man with leprosy. If you want to know what God's justice looks like, watch Jesus overturn the tables in the temple. If you want to know what God's sacrificial love looks like, look at the cross. The Apostle John expressed this truth beautifully in John chapter 1, verse 14. He said, the Word became flesh and made its dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Famous pastor Timothy Keller once said, Jesus doesn't just bring the word of God. He is the word of God. The prophet says, thus says the Lord. But Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, he is the final, definitive voice. I believe this is the miracle that has been given to everyone celebrating Christmas today. The infinite God of the universe translated his infinite grace into a human voice that we couldn't actually hear, understand, and respond to. But just Jesus did not come only to show us God's beautiful character. He came with a mission of salvation as well. Let's look again at the second half of the verse 3. It says, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. Please don't miss the significance of this word. It says, he sat down. Think about the tabernacle in Old Testament. There was an altar for sacrifices, a golden lampstand, a table for the bread of the presence, a bronze basin for washing. But do you know what piece of furniture was missing? There were no chairs. Why? Because the priest work was never finished. Day after day, year after year, they offered the blood of bulls and goats and sheep. Those sacrifices pointed to the forgiveness of sins, but they had to be repeated again and again. The priest could never sit down because their work was never completed. But Jesus, a great high priest, the ultimate son, offered himself on the cross as the perfect sacrifice. He completely purified us from all sins. And what did he do next? He sat down because the work was finished. Jesus, just as Jesus cried out, tetelestai, it is finished in John chapter 19, verse 30. He's sitting down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven as the greatest declaration of victory in the universe. The debt has been paid. Purification has been completed. The king has taken a seat on the throne. The theologian J.I. Packer wrote in his classic book, Knowing God, he said, "The Almighty appeared on earth as a helpless human baby, needing to be fed and changed and taught to talk like any other child. The more you think about it, the more staggering it gets." It is truly amazing, isn't it? The one who sustains the universe by his powerful word, the one who holds the planets in their orbit and keeps gravity in place simply by his command, willingly limited himself to human vocal cord. He learned how to speak. He sang hymns with his disciples. He cried out in pain from the cross. He spoke peace into our storms. And through it all, he accomplished his saving work so that he might now be seated before us as our victorious Savior. So what does all of this mean for us as we live in the heart and noise month of July here in Calgary? I think it brings us to a very important question, which is, whose voice are you tuning in? Let me ask again, whose voice are you tuning in? Even at this very moment, countless voices are telling you who you are and what you must do to become valuable, right? I think our culture says your worth depends on your career, your retirement savings, or how well-behaved your children are. Maybe social media says, if you want to be loved, you need to create a perfect, flawless image of yourself. Even your own anxiety whispers in the middle of the night, you are not doing enough. You are falling behind. Those voices are loud, isn't it? But they cannot solve the deepest problems of our lives. Sometimes they echo so loudly in our minds and hearts that they seem to shake our entire lives. But perhaps they are nothing more than noise. Or even worse, they are interference. Please remember the writer of Hebrews gives us this warning in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. He said, we must pay the most careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard so that we do not drift away. Let me read again. Therefore, we must pay the most careful attention to what we have heard so that we do not drift away. Pastor John Piper said, drifting is a completely passive phenomenon. You don't have to do anything to drift, just to do nothing. The current of this world is so strong that unless we intentionally anchor our hearts in the Lordship of Christ, we will inevitably drift away. If we are going to resist the current, we must intentionally tune our hearts to the frequency of God's Son, to Jesus Christ. We must intentionally turn down the noise of this word and sit quietly before his word. Christmas. It's not just about a baby in a manger. It is the moment that Creator of the universe broadcast the clearest, most complete signal ever sent into human history. So are we tuning our lives to the frequency of Christ? Or are we letting the noise of the culture drown him out? This week, whether you're driving down McClure Trail, sitting in your backyard, or feeling overwhelmed at work, I want to encourage you to pause. Put the noise to rest, even if it is just for 10 minutes a day. Open the book of Hebrews and tune your life's frequency to Jesus, God's lossless master trick. And take time to get to know who he is. Then you will come to know about Jesus. Jesus is the exact representation of God's very nature. Jesus has completely purified you from your sins. Jesus is seated on the throne. And today, Jesus is still speaking words of grace into your life. Amen. Let's pray together. Lord, in the middle of this noise world, give us ears to hear the clear and perfect voice of your Son. Thank you for the miracle of the incarnation, that you did not remain silent, but came to us, shed your blood for us, and now reign for us. Lord, help us today to root our lives firmly in your finished work. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.